And welcome to Make Audio. I'm Philip Tyrone, Associate Editor of Make Magazine, and for the next half an hour or so, we're going to be talking about recycling your gear, getting equipment and computers to the people who might need them most. With me on the show is Christian Einfeld, and he has a new project called doityourselfparts.org, and all sorts of interesting projects and things that you can do with old hardware, how to get it to other people, about their website, and a little bit of everything. So if you're interested in repurposing old hardware and possibly getting it to people like schools and people with lower incomes, this is a great way to learn about it and more. All right, I'm here with Christian Einfeld from doityourselfparts.org. Christian, you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. So you just launched a new site that you co-founded. Can you tell me a little bit about doityourselfparts.org?
Yeah, so DIYparts.org is open source hardware. It's all about locally to keep it out of landfills.
And when you say open source hardware, what exactly does that mean in terms of what it is?
So open source is a type of software that's created on the internet, and it's free for everyone to use. The idea was started by Richard Stallman and the GNU Foundation and the Free Software Foundation, and then along comes Linus Torvalds, and he wrote Linux, and the whole thing really has kind of exploded lately. Open source hardware is the same idea of sharing. The idea is we want to bring as many people online as possible because it's like the printing press has been reinvented again.
And as far as the reason for starting it, were you just looking at what's going on and said, gosh, there's all this equipment laying around and there's not a way to connect up people? Or where were the origins of the site? Where did they come from?
Well, this is really interesting. You know, I mean, we are living in a time when Darwin has been born again, you know, and there's all kinds of people walking around right now whose names will be remembered for quite a long period of time. And four of them are Clayton Christensen, Dan Gilmore, Doc Searles, and Adam Dockstader. Actually, Adam Dockstader is the co-founder, and that little shot goes out for you, my brother Adam. So seriously, though, Clayton Christensen is a Harvard business professor. Dan Gilmore is a journalist who created the phrase distributed journalism. Doc Searles is one of the co-authors of the Clue Train Manifesto. And basically, one of the things that really ties all these people together is the notion of a lot of people cooperating, strangers cooperating over the internet, and the power of that is remarkable. So the way that I'm just pausing for you to ask me the next question. I don't want to rant too long, but how did it come up? So the way that it came up is I'm doing a film called The Digital Tipping Point, which is subtitled The Culture of Freedom in Cyberspace. And in the course of doing that film, we interviewed a lot of really phenomenal people, including Clayton Christensen's co-author, Michael Rayner. Clayton Christensen created the phrase disruptive technology. Have you heard of that phrase?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've read his book and seen him speak a few times. Definitely, you know, someone who, when you look back and what's happened since that term and his stuff came out, it seems to all be happening, just like, you know, the Clue Train Manifesto and a lot of other things.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the blueprint was all right there. I mean, it's just, you know, all you have to do is read Clayton Christensen, Dan Gilmore, Doc Searles, and get to know Adam Dockstader, and boom, it all happens at once. Basically, the way the idea came about was I'm an open source advocate. I like to share the power and freedom of open source software like Linux and OpenOffice, and probably everyone's heard of Firefox. And in fact, the internet is basically made by open source software and runs on open source software. So I think that, you know, humanity is going to be entering a new renaissance. And I just wanted to be part of being able to make it happen at the same time as keeping hardware out of landfills, because hardware has a lot of heavy metals that you don't want in the water table. So at any rate, I was filming for the Digital Tipping Point and also trying to give out computers, because a guy by the name of Holden Oust gave me a free computer that he had built out of parts that I ordered on the internet. Now, I'm an attorney, and so, you know, I'm able to afford that, but, you know, I live in a part of town in San Francisco that's, you know, very modest, blue-collar type of neighborhood, and a lot of people there can't afford computers, and so I'm thinking, every day on the bus I talk to people about open source and free computers, and it occurred to me, why not just install Linux on these old computers that people were giving to me, because I talk with everyone about open source software. And one thing led to another, and I wanted to rationalize it and grow it bigger, because there's, you know, as my dad says, there's only so much Christian Einfeld to go around. So I met Adam Dockstader also, who's the co-founder of madpenguin.org, in the course of filming in 2003 at Comdex. And, you know, he and I just hit it off, and you know, we were just talking, Adam and I, and, you know, he said, oh, I think we can do this. You know, we were just talking about the idea, and he said, oh, yeah, I think we can do this. And he went out and he found the software, the free open source software to do it, and he did it, and there it is.
So in terms of, and before I ask about the specifics of the website and, you know, how it works and some examples, but... tell me about the way companies and organizations and, you know, maybe the world handles equipment now. What do they do? I know some states have they charge money to the companies. Like, I think California has a disposal fee, but it still gets thrown in a landfill. What's wrong with the current system of the way electronics are handled at the moment?
Well, from a green perspective, what you always want to do is start from the bottom and work up. In other words, you want to use the least intrusive, most environmentally friendly way of recycling parts, especially heavy metals. So repurposing is the least energy intensive. Recycling is, you know, actually down the list a little farther, because it requires water. You have to reprocess the parts. There's always some waste. There's a drain of energy in creating it. And, you know, so basically, you can think of recycling as a type of mining. It's, you know, slightly more environmentally friendly. Well, certainly more environmentally friendly than doing actual mining and so forth to get the minerals. But it's not as environmentally friendly as just, you know, slapping damn small Linux on a 233 megahertz computer with 64 megabytes of memory, and it runs like Windows XP on a much faster, you know, current day computer that you would go down and, you know, pay $700 for at, you know, your local retail store.
So when you're talking to people about open source and these computers, do you find that they need anything more than, you know, just word processing and all the things? I mean, is Linux and the open source alternatives to the commercial software at a point where someone could pick up one of those computers, install one of the Linux variants, and actually have a full-featured system that they could use for everything?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There are several distros that I have in mind, and I'll spell them. So in podcast land, get out your pens and get ready to write. So Mepis is probably the easiest to install, and that's Mepis Linux, and it's spelled M-E-P-I-S, and you can Google that and find it. You just drop that puppy in your CD-ROM, and, you know, even like 233 megahertz, you know, Pentium 1 computers with 64 megabytes of memory are going to have a CD-ROM in it. So you just pop that puppy in, reboot it, and hello, there comes Mepis, and there's a friendly little icon on the left-hand side that says, install me, and you just click on it, it takes care of it, and installs for you. And there are a lot of other distros like that. Distros is what penguinistas such as me call Linux distributions, distros. So another distro would be Linspire. It's pretty easy to install. Zandros, pretty easy to install. And the open source community really is very helpful. These are people who love to talk, and they love to talk about Linux, and they love to help out. So you should feel really good about just going in. There are a lot of different links that I can tell you about. In fact, if you go to the digitaltippingpoint.com and you click on links, there's a section that we have there for, you know, newbies and so forth. So people could just go and click there and get those links. So that's digitaltippingpoint.com, all one word, digital tipping point.
Tell me about the process. Let's say if I have an old Pentium 1 in my basement. I actually do, and I have repurposed it. But let's say if I'm not me, I'm someone who just said, it's the kid's old computer, or who knows, it's been sitting down in the basement. Tell me about the process. So I go to doityourselfparts.org and I register it and I say I have this thing, do I go there and do I look for things I can do with it? Tell me a little bit about how it works.
So the URL for DIY parts is D as in dog, I as in N, Y as in you, parts, P-A-R-T-S, .org. And we've had 13,000 ad views, and we just launched pretty recently. I almost dropped my shorts when I saw that we had that many ad views. But it's really very simple. You just go and click in the upper right-hand corner to register, and you don't really even have to register. If you want to just go cruise and see if there's a part there that you might be needing, or a full computer, or a monitor, or even services that you either want to buy or sell, you just go to www.diyparts.org, and you'll see that we have the world kind of chopped up into, North America, South America, Europe, Asia, blah, blah, blah. And then we've got it broken up by countries. And then in the United States, we've got it broken up by states. And eventually we're going to break it down to cities and even neighborhoods, so that you'll be able to find the parts that you need locally. Because the use value of these parts is very high, but the commercial resale value is below the cost of shipping. So what a tragedy that is, because in my own neighborhood there are, kids all around the place. In fact, I work with a school in my neighborhood, and 80% of the kids in that public middle school live in poverty. And so these kids don't have computers, and what a shame that is. So the basic idea is we're working with them to install a computer network using some of these old computers, and they run at really, really good speed. And then we give it out to kids through that school, so that when they get the skills, they can take it home and go online. Then as long as they can, at least their family can afford the cost of going online, which we're going to try to address itself later on. But DIY parts is free; it'll always be free, free to use. There are parts and services for sale too, because some people may want to buy stuff. Maybe they don't want to go through all the trouble, and they arrive at DIY Parts and they see, oh, gee, for example, sub300.com, a couple of brothers up in Toronto who are selling, very, very nice high-speed computers at a really low price because it's running Linux, and the cost of Linux and open office and open source software is very, very low. So it's really easy. You just go and look for something you like, or you can register if you have something that you want to get rid of. In the case that you brought up, you would just go to DIY Parts and click on register in the upper right-hand corner, and it'll step you through it. And we think it's pretty easy to use, but we're always looking forward to any suggestions that someone might have. And we do have a forum too, and if you click on forum, you'll see it kind of in the upper fifth of the page on the right hand side there. Click on forum and tell us how we can make the service better.
So what are some examples of some of the things that someone could potentially do with the site? So they could exchange the computers, get the services. What's a project that you've seen or besides, of course, the educational ones, you know, that makes, you know, that's an obvious one. But what are some of the other things that people are doing with the website or the idea of this type of exchange?
Well, I got I'm too cheap to actually go out and buy a Palm Pilot, but I scored a Palm Pilot off of DIYparts.org. It's an older one, and the resale value is $47, and so in some senses I'm kind of like halfway to being paid back for the cost of DIY parts. But we have a wide variety of stuff. This is useful, we're hoping. DIY Parts is going to be useful globally, locally, for geeks, who we are very grateful to for having created open source software, for Windows users, Mac users, newbies, new users. Basically, if you can point and click and you know kind of what you want to get or you want to give away, you can just go there and click on it. Another kind of example, another funny example, is that I've given away computers and monitors to a local medical marijuana club. You know, in California, it's legal for if you have, for example, perhaps like glaucoma or something like that, with a doctor's certificate, it's possible for you to go to designated clubs. You show your doctor's certificate at the door. They have a special card that they printed. You go in and you can legally smoke pot. You know, so I'm coming in the door. I myself don't smoke pot, but, you know, I'm coming in the door and there's this fog coming out, you know, and someone says, "Oh, well, don't mind the smoke. Welcome." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's kind of thick here." But they, seriously though, it's a medical club, and we were able to provide them with some computers, and they're going to be making a network out of that. To, you know, a lot of those people again are low income. One of the reasons they're using pot for medications, they can't afford the other other medications. And in this instance, I think the club either gives it away or they share it or something legal. So
you mentioned before one of the distros that you like. What are some of the other ones that you're finding that have been useful out in the field as far as Linux distributions, just to install and have it do specific things?
Well, it depends entirely on the user's needs, and this is something that new users who haven't ever used open source before need to understand, that Linux is Linux is Linux, that a document that you create on one type of Linux is going to run perfectly well on another type of Linux. But Linux at the same time, so it's both universal and specific. If you have a very old computer, damn small Linux, and that's actually the name of the URL as well, www.damnsmalllinux.org. That runs very, very well, and it's relatively easy to install with, you know, maybe a little nudging and help that you could get on DIY Parts. Just go to DIYparts.org and say, "Can someone help me install damn small Linux?" And, you know, hopefully you'll get an email back, you know, kind of stepping you through the process. If you're a very simple end user who has a lot of demands and you like Macintosh, so this is sort of like on the other end of the scale. So damn small is very simple. It's got everything you need. It's got a browser. It's got a word processor, blah, 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 a spreadsheet. But on the other end, if you want audio, video, audio mixing, video mixing, the distro to go for is either Zandros, spelled Z-A-N-D-R-O-S, or Linspire, Linspire. And coincidentally, Linspire was started by Michael Robertson, who is the guy who sent the music studios screaming for the hills with MP3.com. So he's a very creative guy. If you want something that looks a lot like Windows, Zandros has a Windows themed desktop so that you can set it up so that it looks exactly like Windows. Your granny can really easily just shift right over and use it. So those are, for the higher end boxes, I use Linspire or Xandros. For the smaller boxes, I tend to use Damn Small Linux. On my desktop myself, for my law practice, I use SUSE Professional. SUSE is spelled S-U-S-E. And that's just because Holden Oust, the guy who got me started on it, started me off with SUSE. So I've kind of stayed with that for that box. But I use Linspire in my office. I use Mepis. I use Damn Small, and I use SUSE.
Wow. So in terms of, like, what's the future of efforts like doyourselfparts.org, I mean, will we see companies or services like Flickr or Friendster or the social networks have, you know, doyourselfparts.org APIs so you can, you know, see all the photos on Flickr, but also part of your profile is all the stuff that you want to trade or exchange or have? I mean, is there a future where we're starting to have open source transportation lines where we can hook up with people that happen to be traveling to different areas, like a shipping company, they just have extra freight and you could start moving stuff? I mean, what's the world look like if this you know gets bigger and bigger and bigger and people find it useful?
Yeah, I mean, well, you hit it exactly on the head. Kevin Kelly, last name spelled K-E-L-L-E-Y, wrote a book, very excellent book, called New Rules for the New Economy. And in that book, one of the great ideas he talked about was that the internet is making it possible to service what he calls the rough middle. So restaurants can serve like one or two or three people at a time. Microsoft can serve, you know, like millions of people at a time. But, you know, you can have any Ford car that you want as long as it's black. With regard to Microsoft, you know, you can have any computer operating system you want as long as it's, you know, compatible with whatever Microsoft says you should be using today. What's happening in software and beyond is that the rough middle now is being served. And the reason for that is that, like Doc Searls says, his last name is spelled S-E-A-R-L-S, that open source is what happens when the demand side starts to supply itself. So that what is happening is that, like through DIY parts, it's just the new business model is you build a stadium, you charge little or nothing for people to come in, you sell someone else the rights to sell beer and peanuts to the people who are coming in, and you're providing a tremendous service to people. So Steve Weber, W-E-B-E-R, is a Berkeley poli-sci professor who has written a book that addresses that question. His book's called The Success of Open Source. And he has basically broken it down as to where these different kinds of things are going to start happening. But and then also, Howard Rheingold, last name R-H-E-I-N-G-O-L-D, wrote a book called Smart Mobs, and he has a website called Smart Mobs Blog, Smart S-M-A-R-T Blogs, B-L-O-G-S. So both those guys are talking about all the various different places that the demand side is starting to supply itself. And, you know, medicine, for example, people who, you know, they can't get enough attention from their doctors, well, they're starting to exchange information online. So we're at the beginning of a huge revolution that's going to empower the small, underserved person, and they're going to be basically sharing the information with each other and bootstrapping themselves up. And that's what's so exciting to me, is that open source and the internet are making this all possible for a song. You know, Steve Weber said in that when we were interviewing him, and this is kind of one of the most moving things that I encountered during the filming of the Digital Tipping Point, he said, you know, He said that genius is randomly distributed throughout the human population. And you think of all the, you know, billions of people who are living in poverty. There are 6 billion people on Earth. Of those 6 billion, 5 billion live in countries below with average incomes of less than $10,000 U.S. dollars per year, and half of those live in countries with average incomes of less than $4,000 per year. How many Einsteins? How many Richard Stallmans? How many Doc Searles and Clayton Christensens are living under those conditions? And what's going to happen when those geniuses get access to the internet? It's exciting.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much. For more information, people can go to doityourselfparts.org. That's right. And also, when is Culture of Freedom going to be out?
So the digital tipping point is itself. You can go to digitaltippingpoint.com, all one word. It's an open source project, and it'll get done hopefully by December. Because it's an open source project and we're working on a, you know, do-it-yourself shoestring budget, it basically is as soon as our volunteers are able to help us put the various different parts together. And the website for DIY parts is DIYPARTS.org. And DIY does stand for do-it-yourself, but some people get a little confused, DIYPARTS.org.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much. I'll be sure to point folks over to it, and I hope to see some of our readers put up their stuff. They've been asking for some type of exchange for parts and computer things, and you know, when I saw this, I thought this fit the bill exactly. So so thanks a lot.
My pleasure. The last thing I want to say before going is that when you the power of sharing is so incredible. When you give a kid a computer and you see this kid's eyes light up and you train him how to use this computer, boom, the light just goes on. And so, you know, there's a lot of social ills, poverty, illiteracy, and so forth, that can really be resolved just by sharing the trash in your closet. So sweep out your closet, get out that trash, and put it on DIY parts.
Excellent. All right, well, thank you so much, Christian.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
For more information, for the show notes, and to subscribe to Make Magazine, visit makezine.com. Bye.